How you feeling?
Oh, pretty good, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
I love it. I would love to start off with just a little bit about how you got into tennis in the first place.
Well, you know, it's a pretty interesting story. Like when I was young, when I was 7 years old, I got some piano lessons, you know, from my family. They started, you know, teaching me the piano with a teacher. And like about 3 weeks later, my dad came from the States with a motorhome, and he brought a bunch of things in there. And he had built a tennis court for him to play with his friends. So he had a bunch of tennis rackets. And out of nowhere, I just grabbed one of the rackets and I started, you know, going to the tennis courts and hitting against the wall. And every day after school, like instead of playing the piano like I was supposed to, like I would go down and, you know, I was a pretty active kid and I used to watch tennis with my dad. So I'm like, you know, let me give this thing a try, and started hitting against the wall every day until eventually my mother just said, you know what, why don't you get this guy some lessons? This guy's been, you know, going down there every day for like the past month and or something like that. And so they hired this woman who's, her name is Rosita Palafox, who is the sister of Ramon Palafox, who was a coach of McEnroe for a while. So she started coaching me, and that's how I started, man. I started, you know, taking lessons and started getting into it and really, really, really enjoyed the game.
That's awesome. So you've had a love for the game since the very beginning, it sounds like.
Oh, for sure. You know, I used to play soccer, and I had a hard time passing the ball, you know, because I was always kind of wanted to do things. So I wasn't a very good team player. So I decided that tennis was perfect. You know, it's like I made up my mind that this, you know, the outcome, whatever it was, it's up to you, right? There's no passing the ball and somebody misses or whatever. Like, tennis is individual. You figure it out. You have to, it's like a puzzle, you know, that you have to solve. So that really, you know, made me want to play more tennis. Yes, that's how I got into it really well.
That's awesome. And as a younger player that starts getting the game, embracing a little bit more, you know, you start getting some lessons and those sort of things. When did you feel like everything started to click and you really felt like, okay, I'm a good tennis player?
Well, you know, it was like, right off my first tournament I ever played, I won a round, and it was like, I don't know how deep, you know, I had been practicing, and then I lost to the number one seed. So I was, you know, extremely upset. So I've always been kind of thriving to be the best. And, you know, my father was like, no, it's okay. You know, this guy, he's been playing longer than you and this and that. And I just, you know, didn't really care, you know, and I just kind of felt like, you know, I'm going to beat this guy. So, you know, right off the bat, you know, I just felt like, you know, I felt at home when on the tennis court.
Yeah, it sounds like competition played a big role in your game early on in your career. Was that something that you really enjoyed about tennis when you started playing?
No, 100%. 100%. You know, you go on the court, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. And most of the times it wasn't me. I mean, that's kind of like what made me kind of thrive to be better. You know, it's like kind of like knowing that, you know, to get the cannonballs at the end of the match, you had to win that match. So, you know, I was really excessively competitive since I was a kid, you know.
That's awesome. And what was that experience like for you when you started playing those, like, national tournaments as, I think you started when you were 12s, right?
Right. Like, well, you know, it's like, it's steps, right? You go through the motions, and I just had early success. So it just made it a little easier for me, and it gives you confidence. And so we ended up, you know, first we moved to San Antonio in Texas, and I started beating everybody there because I was originally from Mexico, and my father kind of felt like, you know, our way to go. He always tell me that for us, the road was, he wanted us to learn five languages because he felt like, you know, if you learn five languages, you're going to be able to succeed in life. And he was correct, right? So his plan was to come to the States, you know, get a good level of tennis and then go to France and learn French. But what ended up happening, it was, you know, step by step. We were in San Antonio first, and I just started beating everybody there. And so he decided, like, oh, where are we going to go? We have to go to a place where there's a little bit more of a better level. So we were looking into California and, you know, Florida. And I went to California with Pancho Segura, who's, you know, a legend in the game. And I was there for 2 weeks with him, and I didn't realize this, but I was there with Martin Blackman, you know, at the same time. You know, we actually practiced together for a week. You know, and Pancho wanted me to, you know, stay at, you know, his house and live with him because he, I guess he wanted full control of, you know, how I was going to develop. But my father, you know, got a little bit turned off about that. And we thought about it, and then he brought me to Florida. And, you know, here it's one of the best places in the world to play tennis. I mean, if you come to Florida and you're here, if you're born in Florida or you just live here, you're very, very lucky because you get a high level of competition. And I especially feel like South Florida has a great level of competition. So we ended up, you know, moving down here, being in South Florida. And, you know, we just started training here, and I really, really enjoyed the competition. And it was the perfect place for me. You know, like Florida is great. You know, it has great weather. It has the ocean that I love. And, you know, and there's tons of people here that you can really, you know, if you thrive in South Florida, you're playing good tennis.
Oh, 100%. The South Florida tennis scene is booming, and it's great that our headquarters is right here, so all the best players in the area can stop by, get their rackets customized, all that kind of stuff right here at our pro shop. I would love to hear a little bit more about that, kind of the transition as your young junior player moving around different places. You find an area with higher level competition. Did you also get a new coach when you came over here, or was your father still involved?
Well, you know, my father never coached me. He was retired when I was born. Like he retired when he was 40 years old. So he was a very lucky man. He was a very smart guy. You know, he had developed some land and done a lot of things in his life. And you know, he was kind of a visionary. So he just kind of brought me to the right people. You know, when I started here, he had brought me to this guy George Perez, who's like he was one of the greatest coaches in South Florida. He's an Argentinian guy who passed away, unfortunately, but he knew, he loved the game, and he knew the game inside out. So he was like a great influence in my life. And at the time, I had also been training with Gary Kessel, like at his tennis academy. And at the head of that academy was Carlos Alvarado, who ended up, both of those guys ended up being, you know, my coaches. But in that moment of time, you know, before he passed away, I was going with Fred Stolle, and I was at Inverary, and I was taking lessons with George. So I was doing a little bit of everything. And when I was 11 years old, you know, he passed away, and you know, things kind of changed for me because, you know, I have three brothers and one sister, and my mother couldn't take me everywhere. So she, you know, I kind of, you know, was talking to everybody, and we made a decision that, you know, going with Fred, even though he was a great guy, I really enjoyed that time that I had with Fred, even though I wasn't with him a long time. You know, he was just like, had a perfect demeanor. He was a really nice guy. And, you know, he was a great player. The guy won the U.S. Open. So, you know, I was always amazed how humble and nice he was. You know, like that always stuck with me. Like, you know, this guy's a great player, and he treated everybody so well. And he was just such a nice guy. But he was in Aventura, so I really couldn't go over there, you know. So, you know, when my mother couldn't take me and take all the kids to school and all that. And so I ended up, you know, choosing George Perez, you know, to be my coach. And really it was fate. It was kind of lucky because he, you know, a bunch of guys that I got along with trained with George. So instead of going to Embry with Carlos, you know, I ended up staying with George. And it was more because of that than anything. But it turned out to be a great decision for me because it was really formative. You know, George had a lot of discipline. He was very, you know, his idol was Vince Lombardi. So he was always a very tough coach. Like he used to tell me, you know, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. And so that attitude fit right up my alley. You know, I mean, I was like, yeah, I like that, you know, and let's do that. You know, so we worked well together for a while, you know.
Yeah, that's great. I think the relationship between junior players and their coaches, especially at that like 12, 14-year-old level where they're really starting to compete at a higher level and hone in on their game, is so important. And it's cool to hear that you had people that were around for you at that time to really help you progress.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, I look up to George because he was like my father in a way. You know, he really took over that father figure. Like, he taught me a lot of discipline and a lot of things outside the game. You know, he kind of showed me that, hey, you know, if you're a hustler, if you work hard, if you go at it, you know, you can accomplish anything you can or want in life. And that was the same mindset my father had. So, it was like perfect, like I said, and that's why I thrived so well under George, because, you know, he was a hard worker, I was a hard worker, and so together we progressed really well together, you know.
Yeah, it's great to hear you had that relationship with your coach. I'm sure you also developed a lot of other strong relationships in the junior circuit with some guys who've gone on to do some really great things, like you in tennis. What was that experience like for you?
Well, that's great. I mean, you know, I trained with this guy, Maurice Rua, who was top 100 in the world, and, you know, like Jay Berger, who, you know, was number 9 in the world. He got to the semifinals of the U.S. Open. I mean, he was older than me, but he was kind of like a road model in a way, because he, you know, that guy trained really, really hard. So whenever you went to the club and you saw Jay training, it was kind of like the standard. So when you have a guy like that, that you can look at and say like, hey, you know what, I'm going to outwork this guy because this guy works so hard, you know, so it sets the bar in a way. Right. And then you have other guys that are your friends, like your same age group, that you're constantly pushing each other, you know? So I think that's important. I think it's important to have, you know, they don't necessarily have to be better, but they just have to have the same work ethic. So when you're at a place and you create that work ethic of, you know, you're there to get better, it makes the journey a little easier, because you have other guys doing exactly the same thing as you are. So you kind of push each other, you know, and Maurice was kind of like that. I mean, I'll never forget, we used to be really tired, and sometimes we'd go to the track, you know, when we were a little older, and, you know, Carlos would be like, all right, guys, you have to run, you know, 20 laps around the track. And we were so tired. We'd be like, all right, you know, we're going to go slow. We're so tired, you know, let's make a pact. Like, nobody's going to, you know, and that never lasted. I mean, you know, it was like, as soon as we were like in the third, fourth lap, you know, I started pulling away or vice versa. And it was that kind of, you know, mentality that was great. You know, this other guy, Yasser Satini, also, we always competed. We competed at everything. You know, we competed at like, who's the first guy to jump in the pool? Who's the first guy to... So when you have that whole competition thing with other guys your age, it creates a good environment, and you don't feel like, you know, like lonely, like you're doing it alone. There's a bunch of guys there pushing each other. So, you know, I think that's important, to surround yourself with the right kind of people.
Yeah, I think that is very important for anybody that's listening at home that has a junior player, is making sure that the people they're associating themselves with, the people that they're training with, everything about the relationships that they have will impact how they're playing on the court, right?
100%. Like, you know, like, you never heard any whining from any of us. You know, there was none of that. Like, you didn't want to be the only guy. I mean, I never even thought about it, but it was just that kind of mentality that, you know, if you're training with all these guys and you want somebody to be, you know, on your court, you know, you definitely, you're not going to be the only one like complaining and whining. Like, you know, you just don't belong. So it is important to surround yourself with positive, you know, people that are going to influence you in a positive way. Like I said, they don't have to be better. There's this big misunderstanding, I think, in the world that, oh, I need to train with better people to get better. I don't believe that at all, because, you know, you can be training with people that are better than you, and that's really the other person's training. If I'm better than you, I'm doing whatever I want with the ball, and I'm you know, handling however I want, and I'm training what I want to train. So sometimes it's good, but most of the times I feel like you have to bring that on your own, and you don't have to depend on somebody else. You know, you depend on yourself. So it's about just having that people that are hard workers that can keep up with you. I mean, it is important to have the same level. And if you have that, then you have everything. And if you have people with good attitudes, then you don't want to be the misfit that's going to have the bad attitude, and you just don't fit in. You're not going to last. You know, you're going to lose the group.
Oh, 100%. And I think that obviously to get to where you got in your career, you maintained that level of competition and focus, and you had the right attitude throughout your junior career. What was it like when you kind of got up more in the 16s, the 18s, and started really thinking about your tennis career big picture, you know?
Oh, well, I mean, it's rewarding, you know, because all the groundwork you lay down when you're 12 in the 14s, and then you start going to 16s, and then you start, like, you know, beating people that are pretty good, you know, it feels great. Like, you feel like you have a shot, right? Like I would practice with Horst Skoff, who was, like, you know, top 100 in the world or 40 or something like that. And you know, I went some sets here and there, Horacio de la Peña, Leo Lavalle, you know, and you know, I played some sets with Jay and I would practice with these guys. And, you know, if you play well, you're there, you know, you feel really comfortable and it starts to feel real, right? Like you're going to be able to do it. You know, I played the Miami Open, which at the time was the Lipton, when I was 15. And I won a qualifying round and I lost to David Wheaton like 6-4, 7-6, something like that. You know, I can't remember the score, but I remember it was a close match. So, you know, you go to a big event and you have that kind of result, you know, it starts to feel real for you. And it's, like I said, rewarding. It feels like all the hours that you put into, you know, all the waking up early, all the, you know, going to bed early and eating right. And it just starts to make it feel real. And because before they just, you know, you're just, somebody tells you about it. Like, oh, if you do this, like someday you're going to be there, right? And you do have to set like goals for yourself, right? Because it's not just all of a sudden you're there, right? Like you have to, and I think one of like, if we're talking to, you know, junior players, I would advise you to make your short-term goals, you know, because it's not just about, you know, the long-term role, like, oh, you know, I want to play Wimbledon, because it's going to take a long time to get there. Like in there, you can, you know, start doing well in level sixes. You can start doing well in level fives. You can, you know, start playing better. You know, it's in, especially at the beginning, it's not about the ranking. You know, like in my generation, it was pretty much always about being the best, right? But now that I've been a coach, you know, one of the things you have to realize, it's about making your game better and styling your game so it will pay dividends when you need it, which is when you're in the 18s, you know, when you're on the pro tour or when you're right about to go to college, depending on your goals, right? Because you have to have what you want to do. You know, you have to, and you have to have a roadmap. So there's all these little markers that you have to keep hitting in order to make it real, right? Because, you know, there are guys like, oh, I want to be, you know, I want to be a pro tennis player, right? But if you're not developing and if you're not giving yourself the groundwork and if you're not passing the markers of, you know, at least, you know, qualifying for nationals, if you've been at it, you also got to take into account like how much time you have on court, right? Like that's important. Like if you're like, my son was he wasn't a homeschooler, because I am not a believer in homeschooling, you know, and like I'm one of the few that will say this out loud, you know, because I just feel like being a homeschooler, you have to earn the right. You have to earn the right to be able to not go to school and be, you know, do it at home. You know, you have to have the right work ethic, right? Like I see a lot of people homeschooling and, you know, the ranking's not even there. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm homeschooling. Like, what's your ranking? Like, well, you know what? I'm, you know, 175 in the state. Like, you know, you have to get there. Like you have to like build the work ethic, you know, and you have to, you know, do the work, do the groundwork, right? And you have to have the right age to understand what you're doing. Because when you're 12 years old, like, you know, I ask this to a lot of my friends that are coaches, you know, and we agree to disagree, because I'm like, you know, how hard can you work a 12-year-old? You know, if you're really working them hard, like what's working hard? Like even that, it's a parameter that's not being met by everybody. Like my version of working hard might be really different than somebody else that's working hard, right? And I was very lucky to really understand and know what working hard with was. You know, like I became 360 in the ATP. You know, I don't want to get ahead of the talk, but you know, I had to stop playing for family purposes. I really felt like I was right there. You know, I beat Rudolf Gilbert. You know, he was top 100. You know, I beat a couple of guys that were playing really good tennis at the time. So, you know, for me, it was real. And so I didn't get through it because of family issues that I had to go out and help my mother out. You know, my father had passed away. I had to make a decision, you know, to help my mother out with some business that we had or to keep playing on the tour. And I decided to, you know, help my mother. And when I was growing up, it was more about like, and that's why I didn't go to college. I had a full ride to UCLA or Georgia, and I didn't go because, you know, it was believed that if you were 19, 20 and you didn't make it, right, you know, you weren't going to be good, which is flat out a lie now. Now we understand that, you know, most people, the road is to college. So going back to what we were talking about is you have to set certain parameters for yourself. and you have to make sure to hit it and you know, be realistic about what you're trying to accomplish and where you're at. And you know, there's a long road. I mean, you can play tennis now until you're 28, 29, if you really, really have the discipline. You know, it's like, so there's no rush. I mean, there's, why is there such a feeling of like, oh, we have to do it now? Like, you know, it's like, no, you don't. You know, if you're physically not able, I've lost a lot of students because they get really good. You know, they're 10 years old, 11 years old. And then the parents are like, well, you know what? We don't want to go to school anymore. And I'm like, well, you know what? Like, I'm not the person for you. Because like I said, you have to earn the right to be homeschooled. Like your work ethic has to be incredible. Like in order for me to, I've homeschooled one guy since my career started. One guy. And that guy got a full ride to East Tennessee. He got an offer for East Tennessee University, you know, 100%, which nobody gets, you know. The only guy I've ever homeschooled. And I put him through the grind, and I knew that he could take it. And we started doing it when he was 14 years old because he was a little bit behind the curve because of, you know, technical things that he had from previous coaches, whatever. I don't want to get into that. But, you know, like the whole thing is, it's like, you know, my biggest advice would be, like, be realistic with yourself. And, you know, if you're going to homeschool, you have to make it worth it. You have to be outworking everybody. You know, you really, like, why are you homeschooling?
100%. I think that is a position that a lot of junior players, parents, and coaches find themselves in, is that point in their career where they feel the pressure from everybody around them about doing something like that, committing to homeschooling, going full-time tennis, whereas they might miss out on the opportunity to develop their game long-term, like you were mentioning. I'd love to hear kind of like your opinion or a little bit about any tips you can give to parents, juniors that are kind of weighing that option of going full-time or taking the standard route. And then what maybe like indicators would tell somebody, all right, you're at this point where you can fully commit?
Well, you know, first of all, I truly believe that physically you have to be there. Like, you have to be in top shape. You have to be, you know, physically grown up, right? Because like I said, like, you know, if you're too young and you start grinding day in and day out, you know, it's physically too much, right? So if you really can't take a workload of, you know, 4 or 5 hours on the court, and nobody's playing more than that anymore, because you realize that the physical part is just as important as the tennis part. So, you know, you have to be ready for that. And so that's one parameter, like the physical. The other one is like, where are you at, like, technically and as far as like your tennis, right? Like, if you're thinking about homeschooling and you're, you know, your ranking's not there, not that ranking matters to me that much, but it's a combination, right? Because even if your game's still not fully developed, you are going to be like in the top tier of your class, right? You should be at least top 20 in the state. And I'm talking about Florida, you know, and because I am not a believer of like the other ranking systems that they're developing, you know, because I feel they don't take a lot of things into consideration. Like I said, my son, you know, had a low UTR, and it really kind of hurt him in a way. But the kid trained 3 hours in the afternoon, you know, and did 1 hour of fitness. He wasn't playing tennis all the time, you know, and not only that, but you have to develop mentally. Like, you have to develop socially. Like, you have to let your mind, you know, grow also. So then you really know what you're doing. Because if you go into this thing thinking like, oh, this is what I really want, but do you really, is that really it? I mean, is that, you know, who's influencing you? Like, is it the coach pushing homeschooling? You know, is it the parents pushing homeschooling? You know, or is it you that really wants it that bad? You know? And like I said, and now you're really working that hard because, oh, you know, I just don't have time, you know, to play tennis. Like, well, you know, you go to school, you come in the afternoon. If you're not busting your behind every day after school, like harder than anybody else out there, like what you're going to homeschool and it's just going to click for you? It's just going to be like, oh, okay, no, well, now I'm going to start working really hard because now I'm homeschooling. Like, no, you lay your patterns, you lay your foundation before you start this process, like kids with me, they learn like what, whenever I hear a kid say like, oh, I want to be a tennis professional. And I go, well, you know what, with me, you're going to learn what it really means to be a tennis professional. Like, I'm going to start to show you like what it is. So, because everybody loves to say it, you know, like, I want to be a movie actor, you know, like, yeah, it's great. Wonderful. Are you moving to Hollywood? Are you like, you know, sleeping in a car? Are you willing to do all these things that are needed to like do the grind? Like, you know, like, are you going to come home after a week because like, oh my God, I'm, you know, I didn't get any calls or whatever, you know, like, so in tennis, it's like, you know, are you working well in the summers? I mean, are you really like resisting the work? Are you doing the drills? Because, you know, a lot of places like, yeah, we're homeschooling. And they just go out there and, you know, they play points and it's not really like what it is, like, you know, the grind. You know, you look at all the sports, you look at basketball, you know, like I go outside of tennis. I watch, you know, what other sports are doing, you know. And one of the things that I've seen is like, you know, kids today not willing to put the time in technically, you know, to become better. Like they just hit and they play matches, which is great. Playing matches, and I and let me go back. They're not playing enough matches. They don't like to compete. That's like a great way to like, you know, play matches day in, day out, you know, but they're not doing the work. That's what I'm trying to say. They're not willing to work hard. You know, it's like, so get the hard work done first, you know, earn the right to, you know, to be homeschooled. Because if you're doing the work well and you're getting coached well, right, you will rise to the top. Like you should be at the top of your, you know, of the ladder, right? Like don't kid yourself. Like if you're 175, one of the equations isn't working, right? Like find what's missing. You know, is it the coaching? Is it, you know, the training? Is it like, you know, your parents are getting too involved? Because that's the other thing, you know, it's like, the biggest tip I would tell parents is that, you know, the kid has to want it. Right. If it's your dream, forget about it. Like that's never going to work out, you know, because it's like you're going to be pushing harder than your kid. Right. Like your kid has to be want to really become a tennis player. Then it's going to happen because he should be pushing you. He should be the one saying like, hey, we're late for practice. Come on. You know? Yeah. Okay. No kid's perfect. I know there's going to be days where you don't feel like it. And I talk to my students about that. You know what? There's days that you wake up and that you know what I mean? And that you know, that you just may not feel like it. I'm weird. I mean, I'm always up for it. You know what I mean? Like I'm that one exception, right? You tell me tennis court and I'm like, all right, you know, since I've been at Beltre Tennis Center for 18 years, you know, I work 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And I'm, you know, it goes by like that because I love being on the court. You know, I mean, you put me behind a desk and I fall asleep. You know, and that's my flaw, right? My flaw is that I love to be on the court. I love to coach. I love the game. I don't like anything else. You know, I love the part of making tennis players and being in the court. So my tip would be like, you know, that's the other parameter, like where are you at in your work ethic? You know, and you should have a certain amount of ranking. Like you should be, you know, able to push off. And the other parameter is what kind of tournaments are you playing? You know, are you playing level sixes? You know, like level fives, you know, state tournaments. Like, why are you going to homeschool if you're doing that? You know, like, you know, you can do it on the weekends. Like there's, you know, you don't need to travel. You got to go to Orlando or Gainesville and that's one of the advantages, of being, you know, of being in Florida. Like I would tell my son, like, you know, my son had a great career, you know, COVID really messed him up. You know, I think that, you know, COVID threw a wrench at him and then he kind of got lost a little bit. And then he met a girl, which, you know, he's still with her, you know, and that's great. And so he was happy. So I told him, I go, you know, he's like, dad, you know, I don't want to play anymore. And the kid had so much potential, you know, his last match, one of the last junior matches, he beat a guy that's 8 in the state. I mean, that's a good parameter. The guy got a scholarship to D1, you know, this kid had been homeschooled and he, you know, he did everything else. My son was never homeschooled. I told him, I go, look at the kind of tennis you're playing. Look, it's paid off. You know, this guy went this route, you went this route, and then you're able to beat him, you know? So, you know, and so it was kind of like difficult for him when the pandemic, because we took it seriously. Like we laid off and it gave a lot of time to think about other things. And so he decided not to play. But the one thing I told him, I go, look, your generation is a good generation. And the reason why you're going to know that it's a good generation is because one of the guys that you're playing with is going to be on TV. You're going to turn on the television and you know, he's going to be on there. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, getting on the tour is not that hard, right? And so that guy's Ben Shelton. You know, like he's a year older than my son, but this guy, Simon Rivas, that I used to coach with my son, you know, he played against Ben. You know, he played him pretty tight one time, you know? So it makes it very believable, you know what I mean? Like, and that's the kind of level that Florida has. Like, and you do need that. You do need to have, like, a high level of competition. Like, if you're number one in Montana, you know, like, you know, I hate to say this, but it could happen. I'm not saying that it couldn't. Like, where you can, you know, do that and stay there and be great. And then all of a sudden, you know, because there's a guy out of, I forgot, Taiwan. Well, no, it wasn't Taiwan. It was Thailand that got into the tour, and all he did was basket with his dad. But it's a rare thing. He would play ITFs here and there, but he didn't have that much money, so he couldn't do it. So it does happen also. So nobody can guarantee you anything. But what I'm saying is, if you have a level of competition that's high, that's going to tell you where you're at, right? So that's the other parameter. It's like, what kind of competition? Where are you at in your competition? So then you can, you know, jump off of that into the ITF tour, something that it's going to require you to not go to school. See what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%. I think a couple things there is you hit the nail on the head when you said that it really comes down to the player and their level of commitment and how much they love the game for them to go full-time tennis, you know?
Right.
And then the other thing is just making sure that the kids are doing it for a purpose, which could be for travel so they can go play better tournaments or because they get access to better coaches or something like that. So I think those two things are big.
Right. No, correct. I mean, you have to have a reason, right? And you have to have a map planned out. You have to have a roadmap. Like, if you don't have a roadmap, like, how are you going to get there? There's many ways to roam, right? But if you're on the wrong road, like, you're just not going to get there. So you have to hit all those parameters. And so it's really, really, I would tell, like, this newer generation is like, you know, like, don't be in such a rush to get homeschooling. Like, it's not all that, unless you're putting in the work. Like, find out what it is, you know, and then do it, you know. Don't talk about it, like, do it. And don't put any excuses like, oh, well, you know what, because you can do it. You can get organized. Like, it was difficult for my son. Like, he went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School. I went to St. Thomas, you know. And so, you know, the academics and all that, and you know, he was a good student, honor roll student, you know, and so you have to keep up with your schoolwork and, you know, and tennis. But if you are organized, you can do it. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. I had to go pick him up from school every day, right? Like, you know, I had to drive an extra hour out of my day, like, instead of resting and having coffee, which I love in the middle of the day, right? Like, I had to go, but it was great. Like, I don't regret one bit. You know, to me, it was more about the journey, you know, with my son. Like, that's, I think, one of the most important things is, like, you know, and as a player, the biggest tip I can give you is enjoy the journey. Enjoy it. Because, look, I didn't get to fulfill my dreams. I really thought I could be top 10 in the world. I mean, I saw guys that, you know, like Curry or Chang. I went 3 sets with Chang a year and a half before he, you know, won the French Open. You know, like, you know, I thought I could have been 10 in the world. Like, it didn't happen for me. But if you tell me, like, hey, man, we're going to do it again, I would do it again. Just like it happened. I wouldn't second doubt it. You know what I mean? Like, I dedicated my life to this game. I love this game. I love talking about tennis. I love being in the tennis court. So even how things work out for me, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I still, like, you know, I'm considering, you know, going in the 50 and over Pickleball Pro Tour because, you know, I miss that part. Because really, as a coach, I'm helping other people. It's not about me. Like, you know, I'm just a tool. I'm just a person that's going to help you get there. You know, if you give me the opportunity to hit the ball myself, I'll take that all day long. You know what I mean? Like, I still love that competition part of it because I can give you the tools as a coach, but then it's out of my hands. And I go back to that, the soccer days, right? Like, you know, but which I like all my students and, you know, I encouraging them. But like I said, I'm a doer, right? Like I like to do it myself. Like I like to be on the court. I like to hit the shots. But being a coach, you have to take yourself out of the equation and be on the sidelines and say, like, you know, the reason why I'm here is to help this person accomplish this goal. And it is rewarding to get to see them get better and improve and, you know, become just, at the end of the day, for me as a coach, is building great players, but more importantly, building great human beings. You know, like with discipline, with honesty, that are just going to be, you know, good citizens. You know, at the end of the day, I think like that's the end goal, because I used to be infatuated with, you know, making a top 100 player from scratch, like from, you know, from the very first day. Right. But then you realize that that's not up to me. I've had countless people that they just make the wrong decisions. You know what I mean? They just, you know, because I'm a kind of guy that's going to tell you like it is. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, I heard a saying that if you want something sugarcoated, you know, get a donut.
I like that.
That's good. You know what I mean? Like, so I liked it. So it's like, I'm going to tell you like it is. Like, I'm not going to like go around it. Like, you know, I'm going to tell you what you need to do and how you need to do it. And if you don't listen, and that's the thing, right? Like, I would tell parents, like, you have to hire a guy that you trust and then let him do his work. Because all the parents are always like, oh, yeah, you know what? We don't get involved. And they don't until the kid starts winning. You know, that kid starts winning tournaments. You know, he starts going climbing the higher levels. And then other coaches start like, oh, you know, I can take him to the next level. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, and then the sad part for me is that all the players I've ever coached, none of them have gone on to do anything like worthwhile to me, like as far as like a tennis thing. And a bunch of them had potential, you know. So then you go into this tennis industry of, you know, just feeding what you want to hear. So parents, you know, if you talk to a coach and he's telling you everything you want to hear, like maybe you should think twice about that, you know, because it's not like that. It's like, you know, it's like when I take my son or anybody to the doctor, I let the doctor do his job. You know, it's not like, you know, like I go and I'm like, well, you know, I think we need to do this. Well, doc, what, you know, I read in the internet, you know, I saw this video and I saw this other guy doing this. Like, what do you think? Like, no, that's not the way it works. Like, you wouldn't do that to a doctor, I hope, right? To a guy that you trust. I'm not saying any doctor, you know, I'm saying like, if you need that guy that you trust 100%, you know, because that's what you need. And you got to let him do his job and don't interfere. And your job as a parent is to be supportive, is to be there, to take care of your child, you know, and to love them and be a parent. Because that's what I tell, like, especially like, you know, like my girl tennis players. It's like, you know, like they need a dad or they need a mom, right? They don't need another coach. Like they need that person that's going to, you know, hug them and say, hey, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it, you know, and you just have to be supportive. So it's, you have to kind of just back away also. Just like I've always known to back away, right? I've always known, like, and that's why I kind of knew I was going to be a pretty good coach, because, you know, like, you have to have that selfishness. You know, you got to put the ego out of the equation, you know? And it's like, and that's why I want to play pro pickleball, because I kind of like that kind of like, hey, I'm better than you. Like, you know, like, bring it on, you know? And it's all on me. But as a parent, as a coach, you really got to learn to step away and let your players be independent of you. Like, I don't want any player thinking that they can't function without me. I feel like that's just not right, right? When you're like, well, I'm the only one that's going to make you play well. You know, who knows, right? You know, like, I'm here to help you and I'll always be able to help you. And the moment that I don't feel like I can help you, I'll let you go. You see what I mean? And that's what your function is. But besides that, it's not about you, man. It's like, I had a friend of mine that's a coach. He got really upset at me because I said that. I go, look, we're really, you know, we're important, but we should back away, you know? And he didn't have that kind of mentality. You know, it's more kind of like, oh, it's all about me. And that's fine. I mean, I don't argue with that either, because I'm not here to judge anybody or, you know, I have the way that I like to do things, you know? And that's it. And I just give advice and either you take it or you don't, It's very simple, right?
Yeah, I think that's a big mark of a great coach is that it's not about them and it's about the player, and they understand the relationship there and really set the dynamic so they can help the player maximize their game. So it's very cool to hear that you're taking that approach on coaching. You also mentioned a little bit there, kind of like the new school, old school approach on tennis. And I know in your junior career when you got ready to go either take the college path or the pro path, you kind of went to the pro side of things. I'd love to hear a little bit about that and the thought process there.
Well, now I'm a huge believer of going to college. You have to have your game ready. And college, you know, what I realized in college, what happens is that the discipline goes away, right? And this is where, like, for example, I see people that have been homeschooled where they really get hurt, right? Because they work so hard, they cheat themselves of all these social things, right? So when they go to college, you know, the world's opened up. So then all of a sudden they get a taste of what they missed. And the majority of times what happens is they go towards that, you know? And so going through college and becoming pro is, it's great because you get a degree. You can keep fine tuning your skills until you're ready. And you get a taste of the other things, right? So it's important to go to college. Like back in my day, like that wasn't the mindset. The mindset is like, oh, if you don't make it by the time you're 18, 19, 20, you're done. That's it. You're, you know, give it up. Like tennis is a young man's sport, you know, and it's not. I mean, you look at Djokovic, you know, you look at how long Rafa has lasted. You know, you look at guys that all of a sudden, you know, like this guy that just made that great story, that Wimbledon run, right? That he just kept going at it. He was an announcer. And then all of a sudden the guy's playing the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. Right? I mean, there are many roads to Rome. Like, there's not a certain road, but I think the safer, the best path is a path of knowing when it's time to do what, right? Like, so if you're ready and you don't have to go to college, if you're that one lucky person that's that good, then do it, right? And there are parameters, right? If you're winning futures, you know, by the time, you know, before you go to college and you're doing well in challengers, right? And you're not filled up yet, you know, you still got physical, you know, you still need a little more physical to get there. Like, you know, you might want to consider not going to college, right? But if you don't even have an ATP point, if you can't even qualify for WTA events or like the bottom ones, like what business do you have in the tour yet, right? Go to school. You get an education, you know, find out what your other passion is. Because one of the things that I've seen is that a lot of people just define themselves like a tennis player. And then you take that away from them and then they're lost. They're like, well, what am I? You know, and I've seen this in other sports, like in baseball, football. And so you have to learn that you're not just that, you're many other things. And you have to give yourself time to develop these other things. You know, you're an individual, you're a human being, you're a father, a son, you know, there are other things that you are. So when they take that away from you, you're a well-rounded human being. And I feel like that's the difference, right? That's the danger of, you know, marking somebody with a certain thing, putting a tag on them and not explaining to them that doesn't define everything you are. You know, I was one of the things that I told my son, I'm like, you know, when you always wanted to be a tennis pro. And I'm like, yeah, but what else? What else do you like? He's like, well, you know, I just want to be a pro. I'm like, no, you have to start digging in there somewhere, you know? And I know there's more towards you, about you than just that, you know? And then he started to make a little bit of music. And then, you know, he wanted to study, you know, environmental engineering, that he went to computer science. But he kind of understood that he was much more than just a tennis player. He was, you know, Nicholas Ayala, like the human being, right? So that's so important. And that's the part of the equation that when you take a kid out of a scenario, you really got to think about that, because you just want to create a well-rounded person so they can have a good future.
Yeah, and then I think that that's something that probably a lot of those high-level players have to debate on in today's game is the going to college or going straight to the pros and the impact that that'll have on their full life. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
How did that play out for you, do you think?
You know, well, I mean, look, it's like you can never go back and, right? But I would have loved, you know, to gone to UCLA and studied film. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, but I just didn't know that was possible. And it's like, but then the decisions I made, like I would have never been a tennis player if I would have made it. I mean, a tennis coach, I think. Mm-hmm. Because I have so many other things, so many other facets of my life that I do outside of the court. Like I realized, like I'm a poet. I paint. I do other things. You know, it's like, so it's like, and I came to these things, you know, when I stopped playing tennis for a little bit and I was helping my mother out and just things in my life that rode me there, you know. And it's like, so it's like, you can't really, you know, if I would have made it, right, like, I don't know if I would have wanted to coach other people. You know, part of the reason that I'm a coach and what I decided, you know, is because I know all these things about this game and I love this game so much that I just have so much to share. So it becomes kind of like a, like, you know, like I, you know, I respect everybody's religion, but I believe in God, you know? And so I always thought, like, if he had a conversation with me, he'd be like, hey man, I gave you this talent. Like, what did you do with it? You know, because I came to that, like, right now it's the first time in my life for a while, I don't have a tennis academy. I'm just a private coach, which is like a little weird for me, but, you know, because of a situation at the club, whatever, I can only get one court now. And so I almost dabbled into pickleball. You know, like having a junior pickleball academy, you know, because I like, you know, working with kids. So, you know, like I said, I have a lot to share. I feel like I can, you know, give a lot of good skills that can help them out in their lives. And I realized that, you know, I didn't really go after it that much because tennis just has so, you know, like I know so much about tennis. I feel like all the years I've spent on the court, everything I've ever done, you know, and I got kids right now, you know, like a little girl, a little Russian girl is like killing it, is playing great tennis. And, you know, I still see results, right? Like still, I transform players. So it's like, I can't, and pickleball would be so easy for me because it's just such a, I mean, that's what actually made it fun though, what I thought about it, because it's like, I can actually take this game and start setting the standard of how this game can be played. But then I'm like, yeah, well, then what happens to what I know about tennis, right? It's like, you know, I still, like all this stuff that I have written down and that I have down, I'm like, you know, it's just not, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And I realized that, hey, you know what? I gotta stick with tennis. I, you know, not I have to stick with tennis, but I just feel like I've done so much that I'm just going to keep writing it and I'm still enjoying it, right? And the right situation will come for me, right? Like, so I just decided to sit and wait and see, you know, what, you know, because I don't want to move out of South Florida either. Mm. That's the other thing, right? Like I've got offers, like friends of mine are like, hey man, why don't you, you know, and I'm like, oh man, I love South Florida. I just love it down here, man. Like it's the right climate. It's the right, you know, tournaments. You know, I feel like level six is here, you know, provide a pretty decent level, you know, like the state tournaments provide a pretty decent level. Like, it's really like, if I was a parent of a kid somewhere else and I had the opportunity to be able to move to Florida, I'd do it because you don't have to homeschooling, you know, but you can bring him here to see where he's at. Like a friend of mine that was a coach and he was a really good player, you know, I told him, he's like, hey man, you know, like my son, this and that. I'm like, look, man, you want to know where he's at? Like, put him in a level six here in South Florida, you know, and see how he does, you know, and then you'll get a good taste of what's going on.
That's kind of a cool idea. Would you say that you would recommend to junior parents that are outside of those tennis hotbeds, like South Florida, Southern California, that they could use that as kind of a gauge, you know, go play a tournament in that area and see that? I've never thought about that before.
Oh no, 100%. Like, you know, and look, the recipe might be working, right? Like, I think it was John Macro that I heard say that. I think he's also not big into homeschooling, you know? And, I mean, I don't know where he stands now, but like, and I, but I'm a believer of that. And you can, you know, if you're in Wyoming or Montana, like I said, I mean, I don't want to downplay tennis in Montana. I hope nobody gets offended by that. You know, I just realized that. But the whole thing is, like, if you're living anywhere, right, like that, right, and you're coming to South Florida and you're beating everybody, then don't do anything.
Yeah, keep going with the same path you're on.
Like, yeah, like keep your recipe. Like if it's not broken, don't fix it, right? But if you are somewhere else, right, and then you come here and then you're not playing well, then you should consider it. And there's, and you know what, I mean, like, we could make this podcast like so long, because there's so many things, so many details you can go into. Like, one of them is like, you know, at first, like, you know, you really have to have a lot of match play, right? Because like, sometimes, you know, maybe your skills are good. Maybe you do have a coach that's giving you good fundamentals, because the good thing about tennis now is there's so much, so many things out there. Like, if you talk about, like, you know, there's, let me finish with this and then I'll go to the other point that I was going to make. But you can use this, you know, as a parameter of where your kid's at. And it could be that, you know, he's just not getting enough matches. You know, he's just not playing enough sets. Like, maybe the ground strokes are there. Maybe everything's there. But he doesn't know how to put together, like, a couple matches. You know, and that's why I think playing tournaments is super important. You can't just practice. You know what I mean? Like you have to play tournaments. I mean, look, Richard Williams did something incredible, unheard of. But he was a smart guy. Like, you know, now that we know the film, and we know, and I worked with Rick Macy. Like that's one of the first places. Like, I was Rick Macy's first, like, hitting coach, because I wanted to learn how to coach. When I was 25, like, I really wanted to, you know, all my friends are like, well, you don't need to do anything. You can just start coaching. You know so much about the game. I'm like, well, no. I'm like, because, you know, I like to take it seriously. I want to become a good coach. So Carlos Alvarado was a great communicator. Like, he passed away, may he rest in peace, but he was like another big influence in my life. Like, I actually started working with Carlos because he was really smart about how he saw the game. Like, he would question you. Like, one of my favorite questions that I always use to this day that I learned from Carlos is, like, you know, he would walk off the court, give you time to cool down, and he'd be like, okay, so if you were to play that match over, like, what would you have done differently, you know? So it was a great question. Like, it's still to this day, that's never going to go away, because it really starts to make you think, like, okay, like, what should I have done? Like, oh, I don't know. I hate that answer, you know, because there is no wrong answer. There is a analyze, think about what went on, and then come up with something different. That's how you would get a different result, right? Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Like, that's not going to happen. Right. And then going back to the other point is that I just thought of is that, you know, one of the reasons why we're not thriving anymore as much as, you know, the U.S. tennis. One of the things that I believe is that there's so much information out there for so many coaches around the world that if anybody loves this craft, they can really teach themselves and learn through other coaches. And, you know, the ITF has symposiums and PTR and, you know, and everybody has symposiums that you can really make yourself a better coach, you know, by just acquiring more knowledge. So the more knowledge you have, right, the more knowledge you're able to give your students, the better they're going to be. And I think sometimes, you know, South Florida is a great place, but I think sometimes we suffer because there's so many coaches, like people just like the academy hub. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I don't think that's a remedy, right? Like you got to find the right fix. Like, if you academy hop, right, you're going from system to system. That's the equivalent of getting a quarterback and saying, like, well, this year you're going to play for the Jets. Next year you're going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. The next year you're going to play for the Dolphins. And then you're going to play for San Francisco. Like, those are four different systems you got to learn. So you got to, you know, stay with an academy, a coach, whoever you choose, right, long enough to give it time to see if it works or it doesn't work. Right. Like, and that's the hard part, right? Choosing that person that you're going to trust for a couple years to be able to see results. Because now, like, you know, everything's so easy. You know, it's like, you know, you can order a pizza and 30 seconds or whatever, right? Like, people expect the same thing. And tennis, I always, my best metaphor for tennis, it's like making a fine wine. You know, it's like you need to pick the grape, find the right climate, right? Let it sit and go through the process. Like, you can't, you know, yell at the grape and, come on, let's go, grow a little faster. Like, it's not going to happen, right? So you have to go through the process. And it's overwhelming because there's so much out there. There's so much information overload. And, you know, there's like, oh, I have to, like, you know. So it's like, take your time, find the right system, and make sure that your child's happy. Because it doesn't matter, like, what, where you want to go in this game. The number one thing you got to enjoy is the path, and you got to have fun. Like, I don't care, you know, trying to be a professional tennis player doesn't mean you have to go on the court and be like, it's a fun game, man. Like tennis is a game. Like, I enjoy teaching beginners, you know, and I'm not a fan when they come from other systems that do a lot of games inside of the game. You know, they're like, hey, when are we going to play cops and robbers? And, like, everybody has their own thing, so I'm not downplaying any of those systems. I just talk about what I know, what I like. But I teach kids that tennis is a game. Like, you're playing a game. Like, this going back and forth, like, it's a game, man. It's like, why? We're not going to make a game on top of a game. Like, you don't play Monopoly on top of Monopoly, right? Like, you know, you play the game. Like, tennis is a beautiful game, man. Like, me hitting the ball to where you can't get it, like, that's a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah, 100%. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. And I think it's really cool to hear a little bit about the kind of mentorship that you got in your young coaching career. And I think that that's something that I haven't really spent too much time thinking about, but I think there's probably a lot of people out there that are younger coaches. And I think it would be great if you had any advice for them on how they can find that mentor or that system to really help them become the best coach that they can be.
It's funny because my brother, you know, he's in Guadalajara, and he sent me a text, and he's like, hey, man, there's this young guy, you know, he wants to learn how to coach, you know, can you help him out? And I was happy. I'm like, yeah, sure. So he asked me, you know, like, hey, what courses should I take? Hey, what should I do? And I think, like, ask a lot of questions, reach out. Right? Reach out to a guy that you might feel like you can learn something from, and just ask questions, because it can really save you a lot of headaches. Like, you know, I myself just decided, you know, to be a student of the game, you know, because I, you know, when I wanted to be a coach, I started looking at other coaches like Phil Jackson and outside of the game, because, like, you know, if you're trying to modify this game, I feel you have to look at other places to see what other people have done. I mean, obviously coaches inside this game, but to me, it's like sports is universal, right? Like you can take things from other places and then make them your own, and they become your own, and they grow, they become different. So one of the things that, you know, I was lucky enough when I wanted to go back to Mexico, because I'm originally from Mexico, and help out, you know, tennis over there, you know, for a little while. And I had an academy in Cancun, and I was so lucky that a good friend of mine, Francisco Maciel, who was a great tennis player, great guy, became president of the federation. So that brought a lot of perks for me, because he really trusted me, and he actually wanted me to become like the head of coaching in Mexico, which I turned down, because sometimes when you work federation's promise, it's too political. I don't want to get into that, but like it changes, it modifies like the way you go about the game. So I said, no, you know what? I'm going to help you as a coach. Right. But in return, I want you to help me, put me in positions where I can learn what I need to learn to become a better coach. Right. And one of the things that I asked them, the ITF, you know, symposiums back in the day only let four coaches go. So I said, you got to send me to Thailand. He's like, oh, man, you know, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, you asked me, so I'm telling you. So he agreed, you know, got a lot of backlash because I was really young. And there were other guys that served there more, whatever, who cares, like, you know. And so I went to the symposium because, I'm a student of the game. You know, I feel like, you know, in other sports and other things, you know, people always tell you, like, you're never done learning. Game evolves. You know, you got to stay on top of it. And I'm a huge believer in that, right? So I saw Juan Carlos Ferrero's coach give a talk. You know, and I've always had this thing about, like, you know, I don't let my students slice when they're too young. And this guy that I really respect, he's a great coach, you know, lets his students slice. So we always had this conversation about, like, oh, back and forth, right? And so I waited for Juan Carlos's coach to finish his talk. And I went up to him. I said, hey, man, listen, I have this thing, you know, I'm always wondering, you know, if I should let my students slice or not. He's like, you know, the first student that I didn't let slice until he developed his back end was? I'm like, no. He's like, Juan Carlos. That's the guy who won the U.S. Open, right? So, you know what I mean? I mean, he won the French Open. You know, he got to the finals of the U.S. Open. But it was interesting. So ask the right questions, right? Like go up to guys that you find that might, you have a good view of how you would like to teach, you know, and the mentality and the system, you know, and just ask a lot of questions and never stop learning. Because the tip he gave me, you know, was, he goes, man, you see how you're writing stuff down and you're with your pad? He's like, when I'm done, he's like, I go watch everybody else that I want to watch. And I do the same thing that you do. He's like, never lose that. And that was singularly the best tip I ever got. Because so many guys are like, oh, you don't need that. You don't need this. You don't need that. And if you listen and not talk, you know, you learn a lot, right? And so when I go to a lot of these symposiums, I love to just sit back and, you know, and listen and see what they're doing in France with their kids and what they're doing here and what they're doing there. And then I develop my own system to what I think is needed at the moment, right? And the player, everybody's different. Like, there is no cookie cutter. Like, I'm not a fan of that. Like, some places, like, you go and everybody hits the forehand the same way and everybody hits the backhand the same way. Well, everybody's arms, legs, you know, style of play, you know, are completely different. You can't have everybody with the same forehand or backhand. I let the student guide me to what he needs depending on what his capabilities are. So, yeah, so ask questions, you know, ask questions and never stop learning. And don't ever feel like you know it all, right? I feel like if you ever get to that point, then maybe you should, you know, start doing something else.
I think that's great advice for young coaches. You can always keep learning and you should really be a student of the game and embrace that and continue to work on your craft throughout your whole career. But like you said earlier, we could sit here and we could talk all day about junior tennis, about all the stories that you have from your playing and coaching career. But sadly, we have to wrap it up for the day. We're really thankful for you taking the time out of your busy schedule to get in here and talk some tennis. And hopefully we can get you back in here a little later down the line and talk some more about some of these stories we missed today.
Oh, 100%, man. Like, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I could talk all day about tennis, you know. I mean, I mentioned to you, I don't know if I can pump my own channel, but
hit us with it.
I'm building a show. It's called Let's Talk About Tennis. So, you know, I'm going to bring on people. I'll bring you on, man, because you're knowledgeable about what you're doing. And you learn so much by listening to other people.
Oh, yeah.
That you become very knowledgeable yourself, right? Like, so it's a great thing. And it's, you know, my handle's on X now, not Twitter. You know, it's Cosmic70. So, you know, if you follow me, you know, when I get to a certain amount of followers, you know, I just started this account for this purpose because I love talking about tennis. You know, I'm very thankful that you guys invited me to be able to share, you know, what I know, you know, and just take what you like and what you don't like, you know, that's what it's about, right? It's like, you know, I have my story and I love this game. I'm very passionate about the game. You know, I love that you guys are doing this because it's much needed. It's information that parents can get from different people and then just listen to who you feel you identify with, right? And that's it, man. And thanks for having me.
100%. Go give Jose a follow and check out everything he's got. Obviously a wealth of knowledge in the game of tennis, and we're so grateful that he was in today. Thanks, Team Didem.